When European immigrants traveled west, they did not find the magnificent cathedrals of their homelands. Many of those newcomers assumed the indigenous people they encountered were, therefore, without faith. Not true, of course. This week's Images of the Past looks at a man named Frank Foolscrow. With us for the conversation is Gary Enright, director of the 1881 Courthouse Museum in Custer. Gary, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Lori. I appreciate your invitation.
Well, today we have talked politics, sexual assault, and ISIS, and I'm so happy to welcome you.
We can just slide religion right into that.
Let's slide. Did you pick this this story for the week? Did this originate with you?
Yes, as I have been I wish I would have known Frank Foolscrow.
Huh.
He is a remarkable man who lived 99 years in the state of South Dakota, and he was one of the premier holy men for the Native American tribes all over the United States.
When did you first hear about him? When did his name first become something that was known to you?
Years ago, when I had a Native American friend named Elmer Drapo, who lived in Huron at the time, and that's when I lived in Huron, and he knew Frank very well, and I never got to meet the man, but I heard all about him from my friend Elmer.
Well, let's start there. Tell me what you know. There's some wonderful pictures online at Images of the Past, so I encourage people to go there. But just tell me the story of where he came from.
Well, he came from Rosebud, and the situation was that he epitomized the spiritual relationship that Native Americans have had with their creator for centuries, and that sort of made him fascinating to me, because their whole approach to worshiping was not in the big cathedrals or even in hometown churches. It was almost always alone, and it was spent times when Native Americans would talk to their creator and do it in God's own atmosphere, that is, in what we now call Mother Nature, because they recognized who made the world and who made them, and that's the way they chose to worship. And Frank Foolscrow sort of epitomized that in many, many ways. But he also was a healer, and he got people in a mental capacity to be able to heal themselves through the rituals of a medicine man or a holy man, who would actually talk you into believing that you were healed. And that was part of his magic.
Give me an idea of how he sort of bridged the gap, or did he sort of bridge the gap between his own spirituality, which was so dear to him, or so natural, I should say, just part of who he was, to sort of these newcomers, and how did he sort of communicate that with other people?
Well, he was, as I understand it, a very reserved man. He sort of stayed in the background. He didn't push himself out to the front, but he in turn was such a miracle worker, you might say, because of his success in helping people heal themselves of diseases or other maladies that people may have had, even sometimes psychological problems. He would talk them to them from a spiritual point of view and ask the Wakontanka, who is the name that the Native Americans use, particularly in the Lakota language, for God. And he would recognize that sometimes this was missing in people, and he would bring them back into communication and gave them faith, so to speak. And that was really his miracle. He was able to read a person's status as to how they actually were facing the challenges of life, and he would bring them around so that they could begin to understand that there is a relationship with some higher power than themselves.
99 years in South Dakota. What do you think his impact and legacy is on Rosebud and the people who have been born in Rosebud since then?
Well, I think that he's definitely there's a great deal of reverence toward him and his memory. Mm-hmm. He was a man who actually mixed very well with the general public, and at one point in time, the United States Senate invited him to pray at the opening session of the United States Senate. So he was well thought of. He was able to go and live and work in that particular atmosphere, but on the other hand, he spent most of his life in a very quiet, reserved life that was spent almost entirely on the reservation. But he had a great deal of influence on people. And my friends who are Native Americans have told me that he was open to everyone, he was always available, and he was never too busy to sit with somebody and even talk through small problems that may be just financial problems or sometimes other habitual problems that people might have that they wanted to get past. And he was always available to people to do that.
Did he leave behind any writing?
Well, he wrote some, but his main legacy has been written in a couple of books that you could find online.
Oh.
Just go and Google Fool's Crow, and you will find the books that are available about his life and about his faith and how he lived.
We are still grappling with issues of spirituality and faith, no less than we ever have, if not more. What do you think, and I know this is a stretch, but what do you think some of the messages from Frank Fool's Crow's story are to us today? What sort of sings throughout the centuries and lands on us lightly today?
Well, I think that one of the things that he was good at, so to speak, as a minister, you might say, a holy man, he was good at opening the conduit for people to begin to examine themselves and to find out exactly what it is they wanted in their own lives. And he would draw down from the sky. He would draw down this power that he would give people, and he would pray for them, and he'd pray with them. And he was what I would call a miracle worker, if it was the lack of any other word to describe Mr. Fool's Crow, because he did not elevate himself into any kind of a position of authority, but he was a conduit. He would have people tell him their problems, and he would send it on to the next highest power. That was his miracle working. He could do that in such a way that people would long to visit with him and to spend time with him, because he was so refreshing to find out what kind of a connection this man had with a power that's greater than himself or anyone else.
Tell me what you know about contemporary holy men or healers in the Native American culture in South Dakota.
Well, there still are some. I'm not familiar with their names, but I do know that here in the Black Hills, the Bear Butte area is still a focus for holy men, holy people from the tribes that come. They make pilgrimages to the top of Bear Butte, and it is a area that is revered as being holy ground, so that they may feel comfortable in their prayers. So there is still a practice, but as some of the people have told me, that this has not always been a trait that has been passed on to any great degree. In other words, I'm afraid we don't have the Frank Fool's Crows in our midst like we did maybe 25 or 50 years ago. Hmm. And to me, that is a loss, and this is what has been indicated to me by Native Americans themselves. It's not my own assessment, but what they believe has happened to their civilization, so to speak.
In your work at the museum, how do you approach Native American culture, Native American spirituality, Native American history when you don't come from a tribal background? What are the challenges of that in South Dakota?
Well, it is some challenge. We do have a very extensive Native American display here, which is the tools and the clothing and the lifestyle on display. And a lot of museums have that. One of the things we try to do is to present some background information on the various people who are extraordinary, American horse and some of those people who were great leaders. They are featured here, and we use contemporary images to show who they are and how they have survived in this society for so many years. We have a collection, for instance, of stamps. The federal government has put Native Americans on postage stamps and give them the honor of being honored just like our presidents have been honored on stamps. So there, we have those kinds of displays to help broaden the knowledge and the appreciation for what kind of a contribution these people have made to not only South Dakota, but to the American way of life.
Gary Enright is director of the 1881 Courthouse Museum in Custer. You can see all the images of the past, including pictures of Frank Fool's Crow, on our website, sdpb.org/images-of-the-past. Gary, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming back.
Laurie, I appreciate you. Thank you.
We'll see you next time.